Brothers and sisters, I greet you all as Brother Kim and Brother Bob are away today. I take this privilege to bring the Lord's word tonight as the Spirit of the Lord is leading in Jesus' name. Here's some things. First of all, let us just read the word and pray and go forward. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 to 16. The book of Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 to 16. The Bible says here, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all in the house. Let your light shine before men, that thy heavenly Father may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I want to read again. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light to all in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven." Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you tonight, Lord. Your word says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." When Peter was still preaching, Father, your Spirit came upon many people, and many were set free. Your word comforts, your word lifts. Father, your word passes through our human intellect and gives divine healing into our lives. Tonight, as we listen to your word, I ask of your mighty manifestation upon our lives so that we will sense and feel the power of God. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege that thou hast given us. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful opportunity to listen to your word and to bless and to glorify your name. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful presence once again. In Jesus' almighty name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory to Jesus. Well, my dearly beloved brothers and sisters, this is a live meeting from India tonight. And I'm Dharmaveer Paul. one of your fellow brothers and laborers in the vineyard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so good to share His goodness, to share His word from India. Coming to just share something about India. Well, praise God, the ministry is just going on well by the mercy and grace of the Lord. There's a bit of persecution going on nowadays. A few weeks ago, we had some Hindus that burned 8 Christian houses of the building. They just not only burned the houses, they burned everything in the house, including the utensils and stuff. And eight of these believers' houses were burned because they were sitting in their house and praying in Jesus' name. And these houses were situated near a Hindu community. These Hindus did not like these people, Jesus always. As they realized that Jesus Christ is the source of their victory, they got so angry and they didn't want the name of Jesus Christ to be proclaimed, or they didn't want them to pray to Jesus. So they burned these houses. But praise God, nobody died. Praise God, nobody were taken away. Praise God, everybody is alive. What a mighty God we serve. But please do pray for them and pray for those 8 families, so that God in His divine mercy will comfort them, will show His grace and mercy upon them. Because the Bible says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for this is the kingdom of heaven. So as they have struggled for the glory of God, I believe they have their food in heaven. Praise be to Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, I believe and hope that because saints here in India always do pray for the saints in the Full Gospel Assembly and also for the saints in the Faith Assembly, praying that the Lord will bless you all and lift you up and your families up, and will use you guys mightily for the expansion of God's kingdom. Glory to God. So the topic that we're going to meditate tonight is, how does your light shine? How does your light shine? As we read from Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 to 16, we read here that the Bible says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither men do light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so that it would give light unto all in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So back to basics. This might sound that you might have listened to this word before. How does your light shine? This might sound that, you know, maybe it's like, again, back to the milk, or back to when you were baptized into Jesus' name, when you listen, how your light shine. But I always believe it is always necessary to come back to the basics, to come back to where we remember the state that we are living. Today, if I call myself to be a believer that is filled with the Holy Spirit, and if I proclaim that I am led by the Spirit of God, if I confess with my mouth the name of Jesus Christ, I also need to understand, is my light shining or not? Because if I call myself to be a believer that is called of the Lord, that is chosen of the Lord, I always believe that I need to make sure the Lord not only leads me into Himself through His Spirit, but also makes my light shine, so that many that see me will see Jesus in me, because there is no need for me to go and proclaim Jesus to anybody, because my walk talks better than my talk. My walk talks better than my talk, because I walk Jesus and in the likeness of Christ, so that many will see that light and will see the divine presence of God. Being senior most Christians, being the people that are reading out, how does your light shine? But praise God, I always believe, though we might become the senior most Christians, we still keep learning, because the Word of God is new to us every day. The Word that the Lord proclaims to us in our lives is new to us every day. How does your light shine? Because my light is shining. If there is no brotherly love, what am I going to do? If I say my light is shining, if there is no working for the Lord or being the gospel of Jesus Christ, what am I going to do? If I say my light is shining and if I still continue to live in the world, what am I going to do? If I say my light is shining and if I open my mouth and to speak lies which belong to Satan, what am I going to do? If I say my light is shining and if I become ignorant of God's word, how can I say that my light is shining? Praise God. What does the Bible say? Well, how does your light shine? I want to just bring out certain things from the Word so that we can understand how does our light shine. I want to bring 12 characteristics or 12 blessings that come out of our lives when we are led by the Spirit of God. When we say that we are the praise be to God. Because the Word of God here is very clearly in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So, the first and the foremost blessing that has to come out of our lives being Spirit-led Christians, if we call ourselves that my light is shining before the world. Let us read the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verses 12 and 14. The book of Matthew chapter 6 verses 12 and also verses 14. The Bible says here very clearly, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And also when we read verses 14, for if we forgive men the trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. For if we forgive men the trespass against us, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Glory to God. The first and the foremost blessing that the Spirit of the Lord on a spirit-filled believer, the blessing that comes out, the characteristics that of the Spirit is forgiveness. As long as one does not have forgiveness, no matter how big Christian he is, no matter how experienced Christian he is, no matter how much spirits he has gained, no matter how much fruits of the Spirit he has, if he does not have this forgiveness which comes from the Lord, his light will not shine before the Lord your God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we see very clearly, the Bible says here, in verses 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. I come to the presence of the Lord, saying, Father, Father, and Father, and seeking His face, disfiguring myself, but holding grudge over somebody, and I say that I preach the cross, I experience the cross, when I'm not really humbled in myself to forgive somebody, how will I say that I'm led by the Spirit of God and here is my light shining, the characteristic of God's light shining through our lives? Number one is to forgive. My dear brothers and sisters, we come back to the basics every time, because that is what becomes very hard in this walk of faith. As we take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as we follow Him, there are times that we come across, there are trials that we come across, the trials of our faith. Sometimes human nature is in such a way that we get so much angry over God, over circumstances, over people, over things that are happening around us. We get so much angry that we cannot forgive, and we have the spirit of unforgiveness. And this is where I think the light is being blocked. This is where the Bible very clearly states that light is being hid. And that is a bushel. That is where your light, what God has given you, the light that He wanted to show through the world, to the world through you, is blocked. Is my light shining for the glory of Jesus today? Praise God. God has given me the full gospel. He has given me the cross. He has given me the Holy Spirit. I war not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness in the heavenlies. Praise God. But my hands are filled with blood. I hold something against my fellow brethren. I hold something against my sister. I hold something against somebody else. Balaam the prophet. Look at the blessing over that man's life. Whom Balaam blesses will be blessed, and whom Balaam curses will be cursed. Well, just think about it. If you ever get that opportunity to bless somebody who blesses you and curse somebody who curses you, what are you going to do first of all? If God has given you that gift, what are you going to do? First of all, we're going to, as human nature works, you will curse all those people you do not like because you're given that anointing. When Balak the king came to Balaam the prophet and said, Balak, I want you to curse the children of Israel, because children of Israel were coming and standing against me, I want you to come. That night prayed to the Lord. When Balaam prayed to the Lord said to Balaam, who are you to curse my children? Praise God. Hallelujah. My dear brothers and sisters, you and I are the light of the world, which means you show the likeness of the Christ to the world, so you do not hold anything against this world, but you just keep praying and pressing forward, because you forgive as long as it goes. Stephen was being stoned to death. There were people stoning Stephen. They were throwing stones at Stephen. What did Stephen say? He was walking in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he just said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Glory to God. Father, forgive them. What it takes really to make that powerful statement? It takes God's mercy. It takes that light to shine upon your life. It takes the glory to come out of your life so that many will see this light and will glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Is my light shining? How does my light shine? My light shines only when I forgive, not when I hold grudge, not when I have something in my heart, anger and resentment in my heart, unforgiving spirit in my heart, no matter how senior Christian I might be. no matter I might be saved 50 to 100 years ago, well, I'm still a baby. Glory to God. That is the reason God brings us back to the basics. He brings us back to this basics so that we understand God's divine purpose in our lives. To check ourselves, putting ourselves in the way mission, in the way mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, and weighing the righteousness. Am I living the righteous life? Because He said, be righteous for I am righteous. Am I equal? Or am I weighing it just a little bit? Glory to God. Do not hold anything against anybody. Because you are a child of God. You are the anointed of the Lord. You are chosen. You are called. He has given you the mysteries that He has not given to anybody. He has showed you as He has called you the remnant. He has not called anybody. He has given you this powerful word which He has not given anybody. This is not to pinpoint mistake in your life, but this is to bring you into the fullness of Christ. This is to make you understand that somewhere in your life you feel that you have not attained God's highest purpose in your life. Somewhere in your life you're coming into that level where you're feeling, Father, when am I going to attain your highest purpose? When am I going into the growing into the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ? Yes, you will. My friend, in this walk of faith, you will surely grow into the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. And that will come when this light consistently shines. When this light consistently shines, and there will not be a hindrance of unforgiveness spirit in our lives. How does my light shine? My light shines when I forgive people. Glory to God. Number two, the second characteristic of the Spirit of God that is portrayed on a spirit-led believer, in order to see how does His light shine, is, let's read Matthew chapter 7 and verses 12. The book of Matthew chapter 7 and verses 12. In Matthew 7 and 12, the Bible says very clearly, brothers and sisters, therefore, all things whatsoever ye do, even do, that men should do to you, ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Glory to God. Praise be to Jesus. Let me pause the scripture for you guys. Thank you, Father. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Number two, doing good to all. Be not be partial Christians. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Glory to God. See, this might be very, very simple to understand. This subject might be very simple to see, oh, it is easy. But when it comes into action, when it comes into the work of the Spirit, when it comes the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that is when we hinder the Spirit and we start working over it. So the Bible is telling, therefore, all these things, whatever ye would want men should do to you, you also do that to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Glory to God. Doing good to all. What does it mean, doing good to all? We are living in vanity or sanity. Where are we living today? The world is vanity. The world is completely in a disastrous situation. But Father is saying you to do good. Well, I want to bring into this context a very important subject where we can talk about Jonah. Jonah, as we all know, is a servant of the Lord. God wanted Jonah to go and talk to a king, and this king's name is Jeroboam. We all know about Jonah, but as far as we know, we will always turn to the book of Jonah when we speak about Jonah. But I think about this prophet Jonah, this little prophet Jonah, it is even mentioned before the book of Jonah. If you all could turn with me to the book of Kings, I want to read the scripture for you guys so that we can understand this book quite well. Glory to God. In the book of 2 Kings, we see a king was ruling and his name was Jeroboam. And I want to read this. Jeroboam too was the king that time. And this king was ruling. Very clear. Very, very clear. Praise you, God. This turning to God. I mean, turning to the story of Jonah itself. Let's turn to the story of Jonah itself. We must first respond to the huge debate about whether it is a fact or fiction. But most people know that this book, because the story of Jonah and the whale, most people's impressions of the book depend on whether or not believe the story is true or false. Some say that incident in which the whale or a big fish swallows Jonah is a story of a Pinocchio which also lived inside a whale. They argue that no one could be expected to take such a fantastic story seriously. Well, I just want to bring to you this important passage in the life of Jonah. And in the book of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, we know about a king called Jeroboam ruling the children of Israel. He is King Jeroboam too. During his rule, what has taken place is what I think is very much necessary we need to understand. God called Jonah the prophet and he said, Jonah, I want you to go to King Jeroboam. And Jonah thought, oh my goodness, praise God. God realized what this man was doing. Because Jonah was very happy when God told him to go to meet Jeroboam. And Jonah said, God, I thank you. Because you wanted me to go to Jeroboam, the king? Well, I'm very willing to go to Jeroboam. That's what he thought. But what happened when he wanted to go? God said, well, Jonah, go, but go and tell Jeroboam that I'm going to bless this man and I'm going to expand his boundaries. Look at this. Jeroboam was an Assyrian king. He was a king during that time. Jeroboam was one of the wicked kings that ruled the children of Israel. Jeroboam too was so wicked, he did so many detestable things against the Lord. He could see that Jeroboam were doing things which really the Lord would not like. But now here is God calling Jonah and telling Jonah, I want you to go to Jeroboam too and tell him that I'm going to expand his boundaries and I'm going to bless this man the double fold. That's what God was telling. Glory to God. And now here is Jonah getting angry. God said, He told me and He called me and He said, I want you to go and talk to Jeroboam too. And now here is, I thought God will curse this man because of the evil that he's doing against God's people. Now here is the Lord wanting to do good for this man. The Lord wanting to bless this man. The Lord wanting to shower His mighty blessings upon this man. Today, my dear brothers and sisters, we are living this world of wickedness. Sometimes we might be feeling like Jonah. How can the Lord want me to do good to this wicked world? How can the Lord want me to be good to all? How can the Lord want me to show His love and His mercy upon everybody that comes around me? This man is doing wicked. Glory to God. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 14. Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 14 verses 23 onwards. To make this very clear. 2 Kings chapter 14. And I want to read it from there. Praise you, Father. And in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, the king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and reigned for 41 years. And he did that which was evil to the sight of the Lord, and he departed from all the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Glory to the Father. So Jeroboam was a very wicked king, and he did things which are detestable to the sight of the Lord, saith the word. And the word is very clear to us that Jeroboam did things which the Lord does not agree. And this is what the Bible says. And when Jeroboam was doing this, now here is God telling Jonah, go tell him that I'm going to bless this man. Go tell him I'm going to do good for this man. How can Jonah tolerate this? Today the Lord is telling you and me the same thing. How does our light shine? A spiritual Christian, a spiritual believer's question is this. How does my light shine? For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel that was very bitter, that was not any shut up, nor left, nor any help over Israel. And the Lord said, not that He would out the Israel's name from under heaven, but save them from the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Look at this. Why is the Lord doing this? So now, when we go, let's go back to the book of Jonah. Now here is the Lord wanting Jonah. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to go to Nineveh. And tell the people of Nineveh, go and tell the people of Nineveh that the wrath of God is going to come upon them if they do not turn from their wicked ways. And now here is Jonah running away. Why did Jonah run away? Why did Jonah run away from the Lord? Well, he ran away, as the word says. He ran away. Why did he run away? This is the question today. But there's a big question that we have not yet considered in detail. Why did Jonah run away from this task? See, my dear brothers and sisters, I said, number two, how does my light shine? God allows me to do good to all. That is when the light will shine. So I'm going to portray this in a better way. When we read in the book of Jonah chapter 4, which is rarely taught or preached or even read, yet it is very heart of the little story. Why was Jonah so reluctant? Who was he thinking about? Some people say that he was primarily thinking about himself, to go to the neighbor. He feared being implied as an enemy to Assyria. But this doesn't explain why he suggested the sailors to throw him into the sea. He wasn't afraid of death as such. Secondly, the people say that he thought the Gentiles had no right to hear the word of God, or the Gentiles had no right to hear about the God of Israel. But it was a kind of reverse of anti-Semitism, you know. We might call it as anti-Gentilism, but this does not explain why he fled to Gentiles in Tarshish. So if he thinks that God of Israel is not necessary for Gentiles, then why did he go to Tarshish? Well, others say that he was thinking of Assyrians. They were wicked people on earth. Yet, more than that, he was really thinking of Israel, because Assyria was the biggest threat to Israel. He didn't want to have anything to do with this potential invader. None of these solutions take an account to the words of Jonah in the last chapter. He had told the people of Nineveh that in 40 days God would wipe away the city. The result of this preaching was that the people came into repentance. Disaster averted. List would be thrilled if a whole city would be repented. But Jonah was disappointed. He sat on the hill outside the town and said, God, I told you this would happen, and I know that you are like this. I knew that you would let them off. I knew you would just threaten them with destruction, but fail to go to what you said. Doesn't Jonah want God's people to be saved? Is he so narrow-minded or so bigoted that he doesn't want God's people to repent? The key reference to this, what he had said to God in his own country, as we read in Jonah chapter 4 and verses 2. Turn with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 4 and verses 2. When we read Jonah 4 and verses 2, this is what he says. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, my saying, when I was yet in the country, there I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee out of the evil. Glory to God. Praise be to Jesus. Very clear. So this is what Jonah was telling. O Lord, is it not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were gracious and compassionate God and slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. That's what he said. Well, we must look to 2 Kings chapter 14 verses 23 to 25 to find out what had happened to Jonah in his own land, as we already read. In 2 Kings chapter 14 verses 23 to 25, we could see what happened to Jonah in his own land. When he was called to be a prophet, he was sent to King Jeroboam II of Israel, and notoriously a bad king who did not like the people of God's people, who did evil in the sight of the Lord. When God told Jonah to go to the king, Jonah responded positively at first, expecting to be able to deal with the king's wickedness, expecting that the Lord is going to curse the king and destroy him. But the message that Jonah was given was not what he expected. The Lord said, go and tell the king, I want to bless him. I'm going to enlarge his borders and make it great. And Jonah protested that he was a wicked king, and that he was a wrong, and that was a wrong approach. He was saying to the Lord, it will never work, Lord. If you bless bad people, they just go worse. Indeed, the king did go worse. Indeed, Jeroboam grew worse, but the Lord blessed him unfold. The more the Lord blessed him, the more worse he got. So Jonah came into conclusion that the mercy does not change wicked people. Jonah is telling God that he knows God's business better than God himself does. And that's quite bad, isn't it? Sometimes as Christians, as children of God, we do not really love to do good to all. The reason why is we see the wicked people and we could not tolerate the wickedness that they are doing. And sometimes we try to tell God that we know his business better than himself. So this past, I'm going to watch the city and see whether you're letting them off or you will cure them or not, whether they get better or worse. Underlining all this, Jonah's jealousy for the Lord's character and reputation, one taking advantage of God's divine mercy. He could not cope with anybody taking advantage of God's divine mercy. But my dear brothers and sisters, we serve a merciful God. We serve a merciful God. So we need to love everybody, which means we need to do good to everybody. That's why I said, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. And we also read in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 15, Matthew chapter 7 and verses 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would do, or you would want men to do to you, do it also unto them, for this law and the prophets. Praise be to God. So doing good, shine. My light shine. The Spirit of God leads me to do what is good. When the Spirit of the Lord leads me to do what is good to everybody, I do not separate wicked people, because God's mercy is poured upon the just and the unjust. Glory to God. The God's mercy is poured upon the just and the unjust. Well, let me tell you what God's business is in this place, because as we keep meditating, I just want to bring again Jonah's chapter very clearly. Okay? When the plant grew alongside of him, he was very thankful for it, since God gave him shade from the sun. But when the worm ate its roots and the plant died, Jonah was very angry again. He asked God why he had caused it to die. God told Jonah that it was a lignite for him to be angry about the plant. But he did have right to be. There were over 120 children in the city and many cattle too. Didn't God have right to have the heart for them? So although Jonah was jealous for the Lord, wanting nothing, my dear brothers and sisters, Jonah and Nahum, we know about these two prophets. We call them as small prophets in the world. Jonah and Nahum. When we compare these two prophets, they both had the same calling. You know, in introduction to Jonah encompasses Nahum as well. For there were significant similarities between these two prophets. Jonah and Nahum both went to the same place and they both had the same age. Jonah was born in Nazareth and he was a local hero, as we see, to the people of Nazareth. So Jesus must have heard about Jonah when he was a little boy than all of the other prophets. So Jesus compared himself to Jonah. And Nahum came from Kappa, and Kappa means village, a small village. So Kapernaum is named after the prophet, and this village was Jesus' main own on the Sea of Galilee, the base on the Sea of Galilee, and very close to the close connection between these two prophets. But my dear brothers and sisters, both the prophets had the same message. But what is the problem here? This is what we need to understand. Jonah went to challenge Assyria in 770 BC, when Nahum went in 620 BC. So they were 150 years apart. They both were sent of the sheer wickedness of Assyrian people. The Assyrian Empire lasted for about 750 years in the Bible. Well, they both went with the same message. But what is wrong? Nahum went to Nineveh, God's message. Jonah went to Nineveh. But Nahum came after 150 years proclaiming the same message, and Jonah took the same message 150 years ahead of. Well, I always believe God's anger is like a pan of milk on the stove. God's anger simmers. So when Jonah went to Nineveh, God did not destroy Nineveh, but God wanted to forgive them and to do good to the children of Nineveh. It is because God's anger that time was simmering. God's anger was simmering that time, and that is the reason to destroy Nineveh. And the reason why he did not destroy, it was like a pan of milk on the stove. It was simmering that time. And now here is Jonah. Not wanted to do good for them, but he wanted God to destroy them because not understanding God's divine purpose. Here, as the children of God, as the spiritual Christians, sometimes we come into this level of faith where we feel that we do not want to do good to anybody because we want the wicked to be destroyed. When Jonah went to Jeroboam the king, God's anger was simmering on the stove. But after 150 years of what Jonah did, what happened? The Ninevean people, there was a remnant there in Nineveh. That remnant was saved. But after that, Nineveh again fell into sin. Nineveh went back to do what it wanted to do. Nineveh did all wickedness. But after 150 years, when God sent Nahum, God's anger began to boil and spill out. When God's anger began to boil and spill out, the wrath of the Lord came upon Nineveh, and Nineveh got destroyed. So my dear brothers and sisters, as long as God's anger is simmering, I think there is no need for us to stand and judge or stand and say that I'm not going to do good to this person. But the Bible says, love. So do good. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. How does my light shine? My light shines when I do good. Glory to God. When I do good to all, that is when my light shines. Praise you, Father. Number three. I just will bring 7 points and I'll just finish with that. Let us read Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 2, and verses 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying godliness and worldly lusts, we would live soberly, righteously, and godly in this. Praise be to Father. Glory to God. Let me paste the scripture for you guys. Praise you, Father. So in the book of Titus, chapter 2, in verses 11 and verses 12, This is what we read. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we would live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus. How does my light shine? My light shines by living a godly life. Living a godly life means living a life that is sacred, that is righteous, that is not religious, that is not just how the Jews would want to live. Because Jews were very proud of thinking that they were living the law. But what happened? Well, let's get back to the message of the tax collector and the Pharisee that were praying. Here is a Pharisee praying, not like this. Kneeling down outside the temple, beating his chest and telling, Father, I'm not worthy even to enter into your presence. Father, I'm not worthy even to come and stand in your presence. Glory to God. Whose prayer was answered? Whose prayer was well received? The prayer of the tax collector was received. The prayer of the tax collector was heard. The reason why his prayer was heard is because he prayed that prayer. Glory to God. He prayed that prayer because, my dear brothers and sisters, he prayed the prayer that God liked. Living a godly life, a righteous life. Hallelujah. Jesus said, be righteous for I am righteous. He wants us to share his righteousness to us. He became sin for us so that we become his righteousness. Hallelujah. He bore the shame that we become his righteousness. Glory to God. What did Jesus do on the cross? He wanted to. He bore all the shame. He bore everything. Glory to God. Today we say, as we meditate the cross, we understand how does our light shine? Because divine exchange Jesus accomplished on the cross. Well, very simple way to say it. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. Jesus was tested. Jesus tasted death for us that we might share his life. Jesus was made curse that we might receive his blessing. Jesus endured poverty that we might have his abundance. And Jesus bore our shame that we might share his glory. Jesus endured my rejection that I might have his acceptance with the Father. He was cut off that we might be joined to the Lord. He was cut off so that we might be joined to the Lord. Our old man was put to death in him that we might, that the new man might come. There are fairly useless definitions for holiness. In this world. An old tale is told that a group of blind men who touch an elephant to learn what it is like. One man touches the leg and concludes elephants are like trees. Oh no, says the other man, touching the ear. Elephants are like fans. You both are wrong, says the man, touching the tail. Elephants are like snakes. What is true of the elephant might also be true of holiness. God is holy, but what is holiness? It is like to have a bit of idea, and from this bit we have formed a composite picture. It's like this, says a theologian long ago. No, it's like that, says the Bible school student. We're like a blind man feeling our way around something is far bigger than we can imagine. Far bigger than we can imagine. Why does this matter? It matters a great deal. We are what holiness means. What being godly means. Cover that holiness is far between, far better than we have ever been led to believe. Just as elephants are more interesting than tree trunks and fans, true holiness will fry your mind. But first, let's understand this. God wants us to come into that level where we, how does my light shine? My light shines when I live a godly life. Holiness is sin's avoidance. His sin's avoidance, which means, yes, I shall know all about the scriptures exhorting us to wash and make yourselves clean, says Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 16. Here the Bible very clearly tells in the book of Isaiah, wash and make yourselves clean, Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 16. And I know that Jesus plans to present himself to us holy and unblemished. He presented us to us like that. And we need to present ourselves to the Lord in such a way that we are holy and unblemished. A spotless bride. The bride is making herself ruddy. So what's the problem? The problem is where defining this thing, holiness. The problem is we're defining this thing, holiness, in terms of something that is not a thing, but sin. It's like defining light as the absence of darkness. It is technically true, but it's not a good description. It doesn't actually tell us what holiness is. Neither does God describe God, who is holy. Before there was any sin to avoid. Being set apart from something. Didn't Paul say something about coming out and being separate from the world? Wasn't Jesus separate from sinners and undefiled? He was. Hebrews 7 and verses 26. So what's the problem with this definition? Like much holiness preaching and definition is ATP to make allergic to sinners, to make us allergic to sinners. Jesus was untouched by sin, but he was also the friend of sinners. He was far spent more time the company of sinners than most holiness preachers. Jesus didn't pray that we would be taken out of the world, but we would be sanctified in it. He prayed that we would be sanctified, that we might be holy. Holiness is being set apart to God. The definition probably comes from the closest to the literal meaning in Hebrew and Greek. Hagos, which means the word for holy. It is certainly useful as an adjective describing the holy thing, like temples and mountains. But how does this definition describe the holy God? It is dedicated to himself. It is set apart to himself. Submitting ourselves is a living sacrifice to himself. Glory to God. Today I ask a question. Holiness is moral perfection. Holiness is nothing but righteousness. Holiness is godliness. Glory to God. Again, it's not a bad definition. It is biblical. You ought to live holy as God lives. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 11 says, you ought to live holy as God lives holy. But it is not particularly useful definition. It's like saying God is which is reductant. We might all well talk about flowery flowers or bannery bananas. Write like on the English test. But come on, you can do better. Holiness means worthy of devotion. So the Bible, brothers and sisters in Christ, today God is asking, how does your light shine? How does your light shine? Danny, how does your light shine? Asked Jesus. Father, my light will shine. If I call myself to be a true believer, a spirit-led believer, Spirit sanctifies me every day. It provokes me when I do something wrong and sanctifies me every day. It washes me every day so that I become holy. I come into the likeness of Christ. Hallelujah. Living a godly life. Living a life that is agreed. Glory to God. Glory to the Father. Thank you, Jesus. My dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, the third characteristic that the Spirit of God portrays in our lives is living godly. How does my light shine? Number one, if I call myself to be a spirit-filled believer, to be led of the Spirit, or to be walking of the Spirit, number one, my light will shine when I have forgiving and when I don't hold resentment. Number two, doing good to all. Not just thinking that I know God's business better than God, like Jonah did. But always try to understand God and do good to all, as he did to Jeroboam, as he did to Nineveh. Glory to God. Number three is living godly life. A life that he likes. A righteous life. Number four, Luke chapter 14 and verses 33. Let's read the book of Luke. The book of Luke chapter. When we read the book of Luke chapter 14 and verses 33, the Bible says so. So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, doth not be my disciple. Does not be my disciple. Praise be to Father. Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And I also want you to read 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 to 17. 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 to 17. Here it says, let me read 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things of the world that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let me post the scriptures. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The fourth characteristic that comes through the Spirit of God into our lives is forsaking the world. How does my light shine? How does I know that my light shine? My light will shine when I forsake this world. Hallelujah. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law, and in his law he meditates day and night. Glory to God. My dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. Forsaking the world. Forsaking this world. Why do we need to forsake this world? Because he clearly mentions to us, for all that is in this world is nothing. It is vanity. This world is completely filled with lust. It is filled with flesh, lust of the eyes. Man sees something with his eyes and he thinks that he needs that. And it is just pride in the world. Because the Bible says pride goes before destruction. pride will not stand in his presence, saith his word. Forsake it. Many times, as spirit-filled believers, we come to the point where minute things become so important to us than God. Your children become so important to you than God. Your family, everything, your money, your house, everything becomes more important. Yes, exactly, idolatry, simple way to say it. Well, I simply tell, as I was sharing in my church the other day, I was telling, before God gave you children, you were barren. And after God gave you, you were praying, Father, I need children. Yes, Hannah prayed in your presence. Hannah got children, Lord. I'm praying that you open my womb and I have children. And the Lord had mercy upon you and opened your womb and gave you children. Here now you're not coming to the church. And I'm asking you, sister, where is your commitment and why are you not attending the assembly? Why are you not coming and joining the church? Here is the sister telling, oh brother, it's become sometimes hard. You know, there are children at home. I have to take care of them. I have to cook for them. You know, you only come once in a while for fellowship, and you come only once in a week or twice in a week, and you say that you're children. Before God gave you children, you were so eager in the presence of God. You were always spending time in the presence of the Lord. You were so committed to the presence of the Lord. Here you are coming and telling, brother, here are children. Loving something more than God. Giving more preference to certain things in our lives which God does not really like. My dear brothers and sisters, the breath that you breathe today, the walk that you walk today, the sleep that you sleep today, the mouth that you open and speak, everything that you do is by the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not your strength. It is not your power. It's not what you do by yourself. It is just His grace. It is just His mercy. Till the last breath in my nostrils, I will glorify my Father in heaven because it is Him. It is not me. Am I able to forsake? The Lord is telling, forsake this world. Forsake this world. The world and everything in it will pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will remain. Be faithful to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Back to the basics. Back to the basics. This might sound a very simple terminology to listen to a message. This might sound, I have listened this a long ago. But my friend, the reason why we always come back to the basics is not to put another foundation, but to understand where we have fallen. To understand what's gone wrong, that we are not attaining God's highest purpose for our lives. To understand what's gone wrong in order to grow into the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. How does my light shine? My light will shine when I forsake everything and put my Lord first. Put my Lord first. Give Him the first place. Many times it's very easy to say, my friends, Father, I love you. This is what I ask. If somebody comes and keeps a knife on your throat, I will kill you if you still serve Jesus. How many of us will stay for Jesus just like that? I tell you, saints, as I already told you, a week ago, 8 of my believers whose houses were situated in a Hindu community, their houses were completely being burnt. Their houses were burned because they were praying to Jesus. Even the clothes and even everything were burnt. But they didn't stop praying. Everything burnt. They don't have houses anymore. They're just living outside. Some of them are staying in my church. But they're still praising God. They're still saying, thank you, Jesus. My friends, many places in the world, we do not experience cross, though we preach the cross. We do not go through persecution that people do really go through. But they forsake everything and they still follow Jesus. They forsake everything and they still throng to Jesus. two of the sisters hung themselves. One was 35, another one was 39. They hung themselves to the ceiling fan because they could not stand to that persecution. They hung themselves to the fans and suicide. Because they see that their children were starving to death and their families, the whole house was being burnt. But we did encourage them. We did go and share the word to them and tell them, come on, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do this because you're serving a living God. You're forsaking everything. Though we may not have anything, God is not a doctrinal God, but He's a practical God. Hallelujah. Doctrine is easy to speak. Practical is very hard to experience. My dear brothers and sisters, out in the world, many are just learning theory. Many are just talking about theory. Very few experiencing the practicals. I believe the world needs to come into that level where everybody forsake themselves and experience these practicals. Right now here in India, every day or the other, we are experiencing practicals. And these practicals are building our faith. Just not go away from our calling, but just stand there and completely be crushed for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, forsaking this world. Hallelujah. I do not have any relationship with this world because I am related to Jesus. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I am related to Him. He has brought me with a price. We were generation with God along it. We didn't know who God was. Though Jews were the first one to receive the commandments, though Jews were the first one to receive the promises, but by His divine mercy, He didn't see that I was a Gentile. He died for me on the cross of Calvary. He brought me close to Him. He accepted me. He brought me close to Him. He brought me close to Him. He said, there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no Gentile. He said, I need everybody. He said, I give you a new name. He said to Jerusalem, He looked at Israel and He said, I'm going to call them who are not mine as mine. I'm going to give the name to them that do not have my name, and I'm going to call them my own. How much worthy have I become? Today, who is proclaiming the gospel to Jerusalem? Tell me, my dear brothers and sisters, whom God has made worthy to proclaim gospel to Jerusalem. I'm not proud to say that I'm proclaiming gospel to Jerusalem, but I'm just so humbled that God is using us to proclaim the gospel to Jerusalem, to His own people, because His own kin, His own people rejected the Messiah because they could not see the king riding on a donkey. They could not see the king being born in a manger. They could not see the king sitting among sinners. But my brothers and sisters, they wanted a king automatically come from heaven and do all great things. But my king humbled himself. My king was lowly riding on a donkey. Here, he has forsaken everything. He has forsaken his power. He has forsaken all his authority. He has forsaken all his godliness. Made himself so lowly. Here you are. How does your light shine? Does your light shine in such a way that you forsake everything for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does your light shine in such a way that you experience God's power? Hallelujah. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to understand. We need to understand. The Lord is questioning you. This might be the basics. This might be something that you listened before. This might be something that you're being taught years and years and years after. But the question is still new to you. The experience still becomes new to you. The reason why is because we have become theoretical and doctrinal Christians than practical Christians experiencing what it means to really forsake everything for Christ. What it means to leave this world for Christ. Hallelujah. I always welcome my brothers and sisters of my Full Gospel Assembly to come here to India to just be the partakers, experience. I don't want you to be persecuted, but stand forth and encourage the body here and tell the people, friends, do not be dismayed. Sometimes it's hard for me, you know, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes it's so hard because a prophet is not realized or not accepted in his own kin. When a new person from somewhere comes, they say, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My dear brothers and sisters, forsaking is when my light shines. How does your light shine? Number one, your light will shine when you're forgiving. Number two, your light will shine when you do good to all. Number three, your light will shine when you live godly. Number four, your light will shine when you forsake everything for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of the divine light. Hallelujah. Number five, let's read Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21. The book of Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21. The fifth characteristic that is revealed in the Spirit of God through a believer that confesses to be walking in the light of God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21. We have read this scripture before. It's a blessed scripture. We might have read this many times in our lives. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father is which in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Many will say to me, look at this. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name, we have casted out demons in thy name, and in thy name we did wonderful works. What will the Lord say? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, that ye workers of iniquity. Depart from me, that ye workers of iniquity. Look at that. Praise be to Father. Therefore, whoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which has built his house upon a rock. Glory to God. My dear brothers and sisters, the fourth characteristic in the Spirit of God that is portrayed or that is revealed in a believer to come into a confirmation telling that I'm walking in the light is, it's very clear. It's very, very clear. Doing the will of the Father. Doing the will of the Father. See, many times, hasty decisions that we take in our lives, hasty decisions that we make, we come back crying over the spilt milk. Crying over the spilt milk. Lord, why has this happened? Even being the faithful believers, even being very much spiritual believers, we take decisions which are hasty and which end up nowhere, which end up in a failure. And I say, Lord, why has this end up in a failure? Why has this happened to me that this has end up in complete failure? I didn't want this to happen to me in my life. I didn't want this happen to me in my life. But it happened. What to do? It happened because I did not wait on God for His will. Did Jesus do anything out of the Father's will when He was living on the face of this earth? No, He didn't. Let your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what He said. Even the Bible says, in order to go into the wilderness before He started His 3.5 years of ministry, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He didn't go on His own. He did the will of the Father. Hallelujah. He did the will of the Father. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to very much understand what God's will is. This is where many times we come into conclusions, not understanding the sign, am I walking in God's will or am I walking outside God's will? Am I walking in God's will or walking outside God's will? This is a question. This is where sometimes we walk sidetracked. We walk in such a way that we come back into realizations, oh my, I'm not walking in God's will. Hasty makes wasting. Hasty decisions. Brother, please pray for my daughter. Her life has become messed up. Please pray for my son. His life has become messed up. Please pray for me that I'm feeling that, you know, my life is messed up and I cannot do anything. And I feel that, you know, want to say, I don't know what's happening in my life. Why is it that you're going through what you're going through now in your life? And we realize that we did not do what God's will is. Well, simple way to say it, if you are walking in God's will, praise God, all things work together for good for those who love God. Hallelujah. All things work together for good for those who love God. But when can I say that? When can I come into that confirmation? That is when the Spirit tells me. That is when I stay strong. If I'm becoming fearful, if I'm becoming deteriorated, if I'm becoming discouraged over the situation that's happening, how can I say all things work together for good for those who love God? I stand in that place. I stand in that place, that right place, where I say the right thing, doing the will of my Father, doing what God's will is there in my life. I go to a man of God and ask him to pray for me and tell him, brother, can you tell me what's God's will for my life? And again, you know what happens? For example, if that man of God does not have a right relationship with God, he comes back and tells, God wants you to do this and God wants you to do that. And following that word, and you do in that pattern, and you end up nowhere. You end up nowhere and you just come back and say, crying over the spilt milk. Set right your house before the lights are off. Set right your house before the lights are off. The reason why is the king is coming very soon. Because the king is coming very soon, the darkness is going to surround. Search for which is the right way and walk in that way. Because my Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the way, he said. Walk as Jesus walked. Do what Jesus did. When you go through situations when you need to make a decision. When you go through situations when you need to really understand. God's will is God's word. And God's will is also revealed through the Spirit of God. Through the word of prophecy. Through his prophets. Through revelations. Through visions. Through dreams. Hallelujah. In the last days will I pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Young men shall see visions and young women shall prophesy and all shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. His will is revealed to us in many ways. All that we need to do is stand still, saith the Lord. Stand still. Wait on me. Wait on me to understand what my will is. What I want you to do. But do not make a hasty decision. Well, a simple example. An engineer had a constructor working for him, building buildings. And this engineer was asking this constructor to build him buildings. And this man that constructs takes contracts and builds buildings. Well, I'm just telling, and it happened, this engineer was every time telling this constructor to build buildings, and this constructor was always staying. He was away from his house, away from his children, away from his family, and he was building and building and building and building and building and building. As he began to build and build and build and build, he grew very old, that he came to the age of 60. And now here is the constructor going to the engineer and telling him, sir, I worked with you for 60 long years, nearly 60 years I've been under your service and I've been working for you. Now it's too late, now I'm growing old. Now I want to go and stay with my family in my last days. I want to spend my time with my family in my last days. That's what this constructor told. And this engineer, in response to this, he said, all right, I understand that you want to go and stay with your family. I understand that you want to go and stay and spend time with your family. Praise God. But before you go, build me one last house, which is going to be the best among all that you built. Build me one last house, the best among all that you have built, and spend as much as money that you can, thousands and thousands of pounds, spend on it and build a billion dollar building for me. That's what this engineer said. And this constructor began to build a building, $1 billion building. My dear brothers and sisters, he was in a hurry. He wanted to go. He wanted to finish all the work very soon and go back to meet his children and his wife. And he used all the cheap quality material in order to build that building. He wanted to finish the work soon. So he used all the cheap quality material which could finish off the work soon. In a hastiness, he finished the building. And after finished the building, he took the key of the house. When everything was over, the house was ready, he called the engineer. Engineer, come on, come and see the house. Engineer, come on, come and see the house. The house is ready. And now here is the engineer going into the house, and he saw the house. And in one corner, there was a wall that he built. And this engineer put his hand over that house, over the building, on that wall, and he just started leaning on it and looking at the whole building. When he began to lean on the wall, the wall fell down. The wall fell down. And the engineer asked, why is it that the wall fell down? And you know what the engineer did? He took the key of the house and he said, and he gave the key to that man. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. So, when this engineer completely came to this man and said, here are the keys of this house. I want to give this house to you. I want to give this house to you. Look at that. The engineer told him to build that house because he wanted to give this house to him for his work of 60 years as a love gift. Now this man in hasty, not realizing that he was building the house for himself, he built the house in such a way with cheap quality. What happened? His hastiness, his eagerness of finishing the work soon brought him a great loss. The house that he built for himself, he messed it up. Sometimes we do this. The Lord wants to do the best for us. The Lord wants to do a great blessing for us. The hasty decisions that we take sometimes really messes up our lives. The hasty decisions that we make many times not only messes up our lives, but also destroys us. Glory to God. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to do what Father's will is. We need to do what He wants us to do, not what we feel like doing. What we want to do sometimes might be like that house, the wall falling down. But do what Jesus wants to do, wants us to do. Glory to God. Glory, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible clearly tells, by doing good to all, number 3, living a godly life, number 4, forsaking the world, number 5, doing Father's will. Yes, exactly. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to Father. So, number 6, we are coming to the end, my dear brothers and sisters, last 2 points. James chapter 1 and verses 27. The book of James chapter 1 and verses 27. How does my light shine? The Bible says here very clearly, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is to visit the fatherless widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Glory to God. Glory to God. pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Glory to Jesus. So my dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, pure religion is what makes my light shine. Pure religion, which is undefiled before God, to visit the fatherless, widows in their affliction. My light will shine when I look to the people that are dying. My light will shine. The Lord will reward me openly one day. The Lord who sees in darkness the things that I do. Because the Lord is very faithful. He listens to the prayers of the widows and the orphans. I always, every time, whenever I have a privilege, I go to the widows. I go to the widows and I sit with them and I will just tell them. I'll ask one word from them. I don't ask anything. Please tell me, Danny, God bless you. Just tell me, Danny, God bless you. That's more than enough. I don't want anything else. You know why? Because I know when these widows utter this word, or when they pray for me, I see the power in their prayers. The widow's mite. Look at that. The widow's mite. Glory to God. My dear brothers and sisters. The stone that is rejected by men will become the cornerstone, said the word. Lazarus was begging on the streets. He was completely begging on the streets. But what happened? He was in the bosom of Abraham. What was the reason behind it? What was the reason behind him being in the bosom of Abraham? It is because, my dear brothers and sisters, he was in that place. What if the rich man would have really loved him? What if the rich man would have really cared for him? Will the rich man be in the place where he is? No. How does my light shine? My light shines when I visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction. Because pure and undefiled before God, the Father is this. Doing what is pure and undefiled, religion. That is what will make my light shine. God is not going to ask me how many cars I have, how big house I have, what I'm going to do. It is easy for a camel to enter into the needle's hole, but it's tough for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. Glory to God. In the gate of Jerusalem, before entering into the king's palace, there used to be a little gate. Little gate. The camel used to go in through the little gate, but the man was left outside till the light comes. So the camel was able to fit itself in that little gate. But this man was kept outside because the enemy might take something inside into the place, into Israel. In the same way, my dear brothers and sisters, God is wanting us to look down to those people, living a cozy life, living a life that is all well, all fine. I always believe, look down to those people that really need God's help. Look down to those people that need God's mercy. Hallelujah. My dear brothers and sisters, pure and undefiled religion. The Spirit of God will make me so, so lovable to those people. I always would love to visit those people. Today many have that disease of untouchability, racism. All these sorts of things are coming up in life. When I see somebody, I think, you know, oh, this guy is so lowly, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to spend time with him. Oh, this fellow is like this, she's like this, she's a widow, he's an orphan. Oh, he is like this, his situation is like this. I tell you, if my Jesus was in this place, he would even pick a child from a drain and embrace that child. That is the love of my Father. Hallelujah. My dear brothers and sisters, walking in the light of Christ means love. It's to love, to show that love. That pure religion, undefiled religion. That is when my light shines. Finally, brethren, finally, let's get to the last point. John chapter 14, and verses 15. There are many other reasons, but I just want to just complete with this. John chapter 14 and verses 15. When we read John chapter 14 and verses 15, the Bible says so. John 14 and verses 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Glory to God. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Very simple word, isn't it, to understand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And also, read with me in the book of Revelation, I think. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verses 10. Revelation 2 and verses 10. The Bible says here, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into the prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But thou faithful unto death, I will give thee the crown of life. Glory to God. How does my light shine? My light will shine when I remain faithful. My light will shine when I remain faithful to God. When I remain faithful to God, when I remain faithful to God's word, when I remain faithful to everything that God wants to tell me. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, if you love me, keep my commandments. Stay faithful to me. Here is a man. Here is the owner giving talents to each one. He has given one talent to that one man. What did he do with that one talent? He buried that talent. He buried that talent. When the master returned, he said, I know you are a wicked master. I have not used the talent and I have buried it. Look at that. Is it what faithfulness means? Being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear brothers and sisters, being trustworthy, because he has entrusted something upon your life. He has made you responsible. He has put something over your life thinking that you would do. Are we staying trustworthy? Are we living a life that where he feels, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. Are we coming to that level of faith? Dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible is telling us, the word is encouraging us to make us understand, remaining faithful until the master returns. Remaining faithful until the master returns till the end. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast you into the prison. You might go through so many things in your life which are hard. There are many things that might test your faith. But you shall have tribulation 10 days. But if thou art faithful, I will give thee the crown of life. I will give thee the crown of life. When will your light shine? How will your light shine? Your light will shine when the Spirit in you remains faithful, because of being faithful is the fruit of the Spirit, remaining faithful. Do not ditch the Lord. Do not ditch the Lord. Do not sell the Lord for 30 silver coins. He has trusted you. He believed in you. He has entrusted something upon you. He called you his servant. Are you being a responsible believer? Are you recognizing and realizing your place in the body of Christ? Why has Lord placed you in this body? What are you to do to this body? What is your commitment towards the body? What is your responsibility towards the body of Christ? He will give you the crown of life only when we remain faithful. How does your light shine? Your light shines when you remain faithful. I'm not going to cheat my Lord. I'm not going to make my Lord feel bad, because I love my Lord. I love my Jesus because he trusted me. He called me. I'm his son. He called me by my name.
Before the foundation of the earth, He has chosen me. Before I was found in the mother's womb, He knew me better than anybody else in this world knew me. I'm not going to do things where He will be put to shame again. I'm not going to do things where His wounds will be again tested if they're real wounds or not. Beloved in the Lord, how does your light shine? How does your light shine today? Your light is shining without any brotherly love. Your light is shining without forgiveness. Your light is shining with poor attendance in the church. Your light is shining with ignorant to the word. Your light is shining in work factor. Your light is shining not active. Your light is shining in lies. Your light is shining worldly. What does the Lord want of you today? How does your light shine? Back to the basics. This might sound just a milking word, but my dear brothers and sisters, this is what is going to design our destiny. This is what is going to design our destiny. Number one, how does my light shine? If I call myself to be a spirit-filled believer, if I call myself a confessing Christian, if I do not experience what the Spirit of the Lord would ever experience, the characteristic of the Spirit of God in our lives gives us that experience. Faith without fireworks is dead. Faith without fireworks is dead. Glory to God. So, as I am in Jesus Christ, after the Spirit of God, number one, forgive me. Number two, doing good to all. Number three, living a godly life, which is righteous life. Number four, forsaking the world. Number five, doing what Father's will is. Number six, doing pure religion. Number seven, remaining faithful till the end, no matter what the situation is. Let's pray, my dear brothers and sisters. Let's seek His face. Let's ask the Lord, Father, I need You. Today, many saints that are persecuted in my ministry, some of them might pass away. But I tell you, even here there's a remnant that wants to stand in this persecution. Let us not be doctrinal Christians, but let's be practical Christians. Let us be the practical Christians that experience the practical things. Let us come into that commitment where we are really ready to die for Jesus. Ready to crucify ourselves for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ first loved me. Christ first loved me. Praise You, Father. I need Your touch, Lord. I need Your touch, Jesus. Father, I need my light. I need Your light to shine. Father, how does my light shine? How does Your light shine? Glory to Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Saints, just pray with me. Just let's look to the Lord. Let's ask the Lord, Father, how does my light shine? Am I not having the brotherly love? Am I having that unforgiving spirit? Am I not able to be a committed servant? Father, am I in work factor busy? Am I not active? Am I always lying and living a worldly life? Am I not forgiving, Father? Am I not doing good to all? Am I not living a godly life? Am I not forsaking this world? Am I not doing Your will? Am I not having the pure religion? Looking at the lost, Father, am I faithful? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Father, we need Your grace. Father, we need Your mercy. We need You, Lord. We need You, Jesus. We need Your touch. We need Your touch, Father. We can never live without You. We can never live without You, Father.
touch me, Jesus. Touch me completely. Heal me in every place that's not right. Heal me, Jesus, right now, so that your light will be shining. So that I will walk.
Touch, oh Lord, more than anything else. I need to know, Holy Spirit, you take control. Need your touch, oh Lord, more than anything else. I need this truth, oh Lord, more than life.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all my brothers and sisters, Lord, that are joined in the room tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. All that have received your word with a good heart, Father, I pray that you will bless us and you will uphold my brothers and sisters and lift them up each day for your glory. Every form of disease and sickness, every form of hindrance, pain and agony, let it be set free in Jesus' name. Let every brother and sister, let their light shine in these last days, Father, so that everybody that will see the mighty hand of God moving upon their lives. Thank you, Master, for wonderful brothers and sisters once again. Thank you, Lord, for this room. Thank you, Lord, for all the Edmunds. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Paul, who is recording this message. Thank you, Lord, for everybody. We love you, Father. Give us your mercy that we glorify your name. Once again, I pray for the full gospel assembly, the pastor of the church, and also the saints in the assembly. I pray for the faith assembly. I pray for the pastor of the church.
And also, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this faithful sister Caroline every time that she visits. Pray for everybody, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray for all the visitors in this room. In Jesus' name, in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, bless them, Father. Use them mightily for your glory. Let them stand for your glory in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, my beloved brothers and sisters. God bless you all, and good to meet you all after a long time. Please do pray for me and for my ministry. A bit of ups and downs. Please do pray for those families that lost their houses because of the Hindus have burned them. Please do uphold that as well. And please do pray for the orphanage and the widow home, which is still under reconstruction from a long time. Please do pray for that. And please do pray for the small buffalo farm as well. So please do keep this in prayers, and we will be praying for you. And we always remember the saints. Thank you for your love, and thank you for your patience in listening to the word of God and receiving the word. May you have your fruit. The Lord who sees in the dark is going to reward you openly, and be blessed. Thank you so much.
He claimed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know who I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I believe unto him against the day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary days or golden ways before his face I see.
Jesus is.